30 seconds. Good morning, Eastern Washington. This is Matt Shea, and welcome to the Battlefront live from Olympia. Our hope is not in man, but in Jesus Christ, but we can't end in prayer. We must also move to action, and as Scripture admonishes us, prepare your horse for battle, but the battle is the Lord's. And this year, my friends, is the year for battle. And now from the front, your weekly intelligence briefing. On the international front, well, the Olympic ice skating team is complaining about their uniforms. You know, it used to be in the United States, you just competed without complaining, and I hope we get back to that. On another front, China in December has been dumping U.S. debt, along with Japan, actually. And it is a huge, huge, huge deal that has gone largely unreported in the media. We've seen articles on Zero Hedge, but Drudge actually picked up the article today that the Chinese have dumped U.S. debt. And that has some pretty significant and profound impacts going into the future because Belgium came to the rescue buying some of the U.S. debt. That's right. Belgium, the European Union, who is struggling with its own debt problems, is helping bail out the U.S. Doesn't seem like this is going to go well. On the national front, global warming is still freezing. I'm just going to let that hang in the air there because the winter is socking the South. We have record temperatures being broken all over the United States. We have the Great Lakes freezing almost completely over. How much more can we take of these scientists using politics to replace science and say that global warming is actually real when it has been conclusively disproven and I think very clearly linked to this, not only the solar cycle but the Pacific Decadal Oscillation, which is a very fancy way of saying the rotation of ocean currents. Let's just educate our friends and neighbors so we can quit the fear-mongering and we can get back to reality and fixing the economy by allowing entrepreneurs to flourish and unshackling the American entrepreneurial spirit. On the Olympia front, a huge night last night. I can't underscore that enough. A huge, huge night last night. We have 6 national news stories on our bills this morning, and we're going to get to that a little bit later in the show. But it was incredible. We are in a 6-vote minority in the House of Representatives in Washington, and we had win after win after win last night, and that is largely because of you, the grassroots, calling, emailing, and keeping the pressure on. It does make a difference, and we're going to talk about that here in a few minutes. On the local front, once again, House Bill 2732 to divert revenue to local law enforcement. That bill is still alive, even though we have cutoff a little bit later today. Cutoff meaning that all bills have to get out of the House of Origin by 5 o'clock today, except for bills that are necessary to implement the budget. Well, directing and diverting revenue to local law enforcement from marijuana taxes is one bill that will remain alive as a bill necessary to implement the budget. And I hope that our local sheriff will actually get on board with our attempt to divert revenue to local law enforcement so we can help those folks out. Because, boy, they have a thankless job on the streets of Spokane and Spokane Valley, and we need to make sure that they are well-funded, well-equipped, and that they have our support here in Olympia. And that this morning is the briefing. Remember, the antidote to dependency and socialism is to be a God-fearing, self-reliant, freedom-loving American. And once again this morning, I have with me somebody who's becoming kind of a celebrity on the national level and whose birthday it was yesterday, the bearded one from the 15th District State Representative, Dave Daler. Dave, thanks for joining me this morning on Battlefront.
Thank you, Matt. You're a little froggy this morning.
It was incredible last night. We're going on, what, 6 hours of sleep? We got done at 12:30 in the morning.
Yeah, about 6 hours. That's all right, because we're here to fight the fight, and incredibly, we're having, praise God, all kinds of success.
And you don't need a lot of sleep when you got all this positive
<That's> energy. That's exactly right.
From so many wins yesterday. Well, it was a huge day, praise God, yesterday. My goodness, we had 5 of our bills passed off the floor of the House yesterday alone, and one major amendment that got passed. Dave, your drone bill literally is going to change the future of Washington State, if not the country. Tell the listeners a little bit about what happened last night.
Well, it actually started last week. We, after briefing House Bill 1771 and House Bill 2179, which is by Jeff Morris, we came to the conclusion from both sides that both bills had some really good things in it. So we worked all weekend, starting on Friday or Thursday night, I guess, and came up with an agreed to substitute. And amazingly enough, even with a 6-vote minority, the bill came out better. And you know, what it does is it protects our citizens' Fourth Amendment rights against warrantless surveillance, and yet it provides for public safety and limits liability exposure on state and local government. It was a huge win for Washington State and for the citizens of Washington. Frankly, we couldn't have got to where we're at today if the grassroots hadn't shown up last year and this year and said, we need this bill, please vote it out.
So this bill is now becoming a model for the rest of the country, but particularly in the way that it's actually structured, so that it isn't just drone technology that can be made to adhere to the Constitution, the Fourth Amendment, Article 1, Section 7 of the Washington State Constitution. Explain that to the listeners.
Well, that's exactly right. Well, last year we went after the drone issue itself, and what ended up passing was the framework for a much broader discussion and broader law that incorporates essentially what is being called extraordinary sensing devices. So as new technology hits the market or is being used by governmental entities, we can go in with a new bill like next year and add to what an ESD is, an extraordinary sensing device. We can now add in that it's the pan and tilt cameras, it's low-level satellites, it's
license plate readers,
or Google glasses if the police force begins to wear those. So it broadens our ability to really get after it. So we're going to be amending in the future law instead of creating new law, which is in a lot of ways a much easier process than getting people to think and understand what a new law would do or a new section of law would do. It really builds the framework. And I have to give thanks to Representative Jeff Morris and Representative Brady Walkinshaw, because they really pushed for that aspect of it. Instead of focusing on the one technology that we know about today, let's include that technology in this new framework, but broaden the framework so that it can cover multiple things.
And the reason probably all of you have not heard those names before on Battlefront is because they're downtown Seattle Democrats.
Absolutely. Brady Walkinshaw is the 43rd. He's seatmate with Speaker Frank Chopp. Jeff Morris is a Bellingham Democrat. They're not typically people we would work with, but the other name we'd throw in with that is Roger Goodman, Representative Roger Goodman, chair of the Public Safety Committee, another Seattle Democrat. But we've said for a year now that freedom and liberty are not partisan issues. They cross the political divide, and when people like it, they embrace it. And I'm looking forward to having the next discussion. In fact, we started yesterday on what's the next technology we need to take a close look at.
And House Bill 2789 came out 83-15 last night, which is an overwhelming show of support for restricting and restraining the use of drones in the state of Washington. Virtually all the opposition vanished, especially with the last-minute negotiations.
Absolutely. Even leading up to the vote, I was expecting a 70-38 vote, and to see it come out with such a wide margin was, it was satisfying to say the least. But I think it really shows that, people here in Olympia are starting to get it, and the message that not only we're providing, but the grassroots are sending them each and every day are getting through, and people are beginning to listen, and they're understanding the issue. And again, praise God, and now we see what we get to work on next.
Well, and we had another bill that actually trailed that one. This took care of government surveillance, but we actually wanted to address the private use of drones as well.
Yeah, that was House Bill 2178. That was actually prime sponsored by Representative Jeff Morris. It deals with the private use, and honestly, the bill started out in kind of a convoluted mess. What was it going to apply to? Is it private lands? What about public lands? Will it impact or relate to governmental use, and how do we address that? Do we have to do amendments? And in working with Jeff, Representative Morris, we were able to craft an amendment that just said, here's how it relates to private use. And you can fly them anywhere you want, but as soon as you start collecting data, you're breaking the law. And we viewed it as an opportunity to address those third-party uses. So you've got Boeing or Google or, take your pick of a third-party entity is collecting data and then selling it to governmental entities. So this would actually address that. It creates a structure for not only a criminal penalties, but a right of action. If you are an individual who had data collected on you, contrary to law, it's a good little bill that complements 2789 quite well.
And I really appreciate the fact that even if it's a private environmentalist, radical environmentalist organization, or it's a multinational corporation that's really essentially become an arm of government, this really put a check on it, because Google just the other day admitted it was data mining and selling that data to not only private entities, but presumably the federal government as well.
Well, that's exactly right. And you brought up the environmental radical aspect of this. And we were very careful in 2789 to say that the government cannot use drones or extraordinary sensing devices for regulatory enforcement. And so the fear was that, okay, now are they going to use 2178 to gather the data and then simply sell that or gift that to the state? So we took care of that in both bills, and it's a wonderful thing. We won't see the Department of Ecology out there flying drones trying to enforce the laws.
Or Google. I love it. And I think, too, for folks that don't understand how momentous this was last night, we literally were setting the stage for transforming the future and allowing other states to follow our example, because it's an eminently reasonable, workable bill, not just an outright ban on drones, because there are some acceptable uses for firefighting, for example. It actually really, I think, reaffirmed the Fourth Amendment, which to me warms my heart.
There's no doubt about that. But, you know, Matt, just, I guess, taking a step back and looking at the grassroots support on this and thanking them for all the work they did, it was about an hour between the two big bills of the year passing. And shortly after the passage of 2789, my phone started exploding with text messages, Facebook posts. And at one point I looked at Facebook and I had 187 messages. And I looked at you and you're like, I can't keep up, because you were getting the exact same thing. So, you know, from me to all your listeners and all those folks that reached out and helped, thank you so much. We couldn't have done any of this without you.
Hundreds and thousands of grassroots is making a huge difference, and we're all acting together in the cause of freedom and liberty. Just terrific watching that happen yesterday. Well, we also had the legalization of industrial hemp yesterday, a huge bill for several reasons. One being, this is going to bring not only hundreds of jobs to the state of Washington, but it brings a little bit of independence too. Instead of importing hemp from Romania and Canada and China and Indonesia, we're actually going to grow our own. We have an existing market here, and we can actually return Washington State to being what it once was, the largest or one of the largest exporters of hemp in the entire world.
That's exactly right. And you know, you're not taking credit for this, Matt, but this was 1888, House Bill 1888 was Matt Shea bill from 2013 that worked its way through the system. It took a little over a year, but we got it passed. And it's a huge win for not only our agricultural markets in Washington State, but manufacturing. I mean, we've had conversations with the pulp and paper mills here on the Capitol who came to us and said, we're not here to lobby for, I'm not a lobbyist. I'm here representing an industry who sees this bill as an opportunity to actually put people back to work. You know, when we, you know, for the last 20 plus years have destroyed the timber industry through the protection of fish and through the protection of birds and just simply not harvesting. This is an opportunity to put a whole lot of people back to work and reignite an industry that used to be so very strong in this state.
And we still got to get this stuff through the Senate as well. And so the grassroots fight is not over, but boy, there's a lot of momentum. That bill went out unanimous last night, which was, that was really incredible. We've been working that one for about the same length of time. And we had so much support from across the aisle.
Well, you know, it's interesting. We sat in your office with the chair of the Appropriations Subcommittee, and he, I think it's safe to characterize his opinion and his body language as unsure. He didn't know what to do with the bill. I don't think he really wanted to move the bill, but we worked with him, and it left committee 9-0, and it gets to the floor, and it comes out unanimous. And I think it shows that people are beginning to understand that there is a definite difference between cannabis and industrial hemp. And this is a great opportunity. Instead of importing all those goods, we're now going to be able to produce our own, manufacture it here, and export it ourselves. And interestingly, there was a trailer bill, as we would call it, that actually ran first, but it allowed for the feeding of hemp seed to livestock. And under the federal laws and state laws, we had to have this bill in order to allow the hemp seed to be fed, for example, to chickens. And hemp seed's got high omega-3 fatty acids. It's a great thing for a healthier product. But we had to have a bill to do it. So now not only do we have the authority to feed hemp seed, but we have your bill that allows us to grow our own hemp seed.
It's going to revolutionize, I think, Washington State, especially the industry of agriculture and manufacturing, because not only do you make rope out of it, you also have construction applications with hempcrete. Pumping it into walls has a higher value for insulating houses, but also it actually creates a soundproof barrier in houses too, where you may not have that with normal insulation and walls. Just incredible applications in shampoo even.
Absolutely. Yeah, we you and I have sat here for 6 years, and during that time we've heard green building, we must transition to green building, environmentally friendly building. And so you bring out House Bill 1888, industrial hemp, and we start talking about, look, this stuff is actually stronger than your standard wood products for construction material. And hempcrete, not only it provides all the characteristics and qualities of normal concrete, but higher insulation value, soundproofing, and it's green. This is... It's funny, but it's the ultimate green building product, and I think that actually played into it, that we were able to demonstrate that, you know, this isn't cannabis. This is industrial hemp that can be used for rope and shampoo and clothing and, oh, by the way, building materials that sequester carbon. So, which I know we're on your radio show and we're talking about carbon sequestering, but... it just goes to show that when you put forward a bill that that makes some good sense for a variety of reasons, that we can gain support here.
This is Matt Shea with Representative Dave Taylor on Battlefront, talking about the huge day we had yesterday with five bills passing the House of Representatives alone. Just yesterday, one major amendment that passed as well. And now this morning, I think six, at least last count, six national news stories that we can at least find. This has been incredible, and we shouldn't even be this successful in a six-vote minority. I want to stress that. Some people were acting yesterday as if we have the majority in the House of Representatives. We don't. We're in a six-vote minority.
And if you start looking at some of the other bills that passed out of the House, it's obvious that we're in a six-vote minority.
Right.
But, you know, this is... Again, you know, when you put forward ideas and break down that partisan divide and get out of Republican versus Democrat and start looking at what makes sense for Washington State, what improves freedom in Washington State, what reduces government and lowers taxes for Washington State citizens, we can gain traction on the other side of the aisle. It's, again, they're not partisan issues. These are wonderful issues that a variety of people can support.
And one of those nonpartisan issues was peanut brittle.
Yes.
We actually had a bill, House Bill 2698, that passed off the floor of the House yesterday. Not a huge expansion of freedom, but it was an expansion of freedom.
Well, dealing with cottage food industries, and you know, we've had this fight now for a couple of years on essentially letting grandma make jelly and jam or peanut brittle and selling it. And you know, we really look at that, I think, as an opportunity for increased economic activity within the private sector, but really, you know, homeschool mom, grandma, homeschool kids who, you know, I've got friends back home and their kids are great bakers. Well, this is a great opportunity to allow them to create their own little business without government interfering in it.
One of the other bills that we actually got through yesterday was in regards to keeping people in their homes by restructuring how property taxes are collected at the local level. A special thank you to Rob Chase, treasurer of Spokane County, who's done a phenomenal job in pushing these issues that really, I think, cross party lines, but also cross age lines. You know, with those on fixed incomes or those who are elderly, sometimes they have a hard time paying their property taxes, and this allows them to stay in their home so they don't have to lose their home because they have problems paying their property taxes because of whatever reason, crisis in their family, or perhaps inflation is continuing to eat away at what little money they do have.
This is another one of those great little bills that actually started last year, and you worked so hard on that bill last year, Matt, and I appreciate it, and I thank you for that. And this bill is essentially, again, another what we'd call a trailer bill to address aspects that we couldn't simply get through last year, that for whatever reason people were uncomfortable with it. And now, with the passage of this bill and hopefully passage in the Senate and signature by the governor, it will, in my opinion, most certainly help people stay in their homes. And you look at the economy and the way it's moving along, anything that we can do to strengthen people's ability to stay in their homes, be it the retired individual on a fixed income or that new family, young family that are just starting out, this is a good thing for Washington.
Last year, we also had a bill that one of the big successes of Freedom Agenda last year, massively expanding the amount of road miles that ATVs could use, literally opening up hundreds of miles of roads to ATV use in Washington State. Dealers in Wenatchee have already reported an uptick in sales because of it. And it's expected, at least one of the estimates we had, to have an economic impact of over $50 million over the next 10 years. And then DOL stepped in, and we had to introduce House Bill 2675 to fix what DOL was doing. In particular, just silly stuff like you have to have your title to register.
Yeah, well, in typical fashion, and let's not just pick on DOL. I mean, this DOL is the example in this particular instance, but this happens all the time. We pass a bill in Olympia, an agency interprets it differently than the clear legislative intention, and we have to come back and fix it. Thankfully, we had the ability to do that this year. We had, again, bipartisan support, and we were able to get that through. And, this our rural counties, I look at parts of Yakima County that I represent, Spokane County where you're at, Pend'oreille, Ferry, Stevens, Okanagan. All these counties rely heavily on recreation. That's their economic development. They because of other issues like the Growth Management Act, they haven't been able to develop commercial industrial businesses. So they do focus on recreational development, hunting, ATVing, fishing. Well, we had a great bill last year. Department of Licensing, frankly, screwed it up. And now we've got the fix for it that will allow people to get back into the woods and recreate. It's a great opportunity to build families. I've got friends who've spent years riding as families, and this is a great opportunity to really get people out there again.
And I think one of the bigger parts of this, too, is the reciprocity with Idaho, because we have all this cross-border traffic, especially in eastern Washington. DOL interpreted the clear language of the bill to say that you had to have a license both in Idaho and Washington, even though the underlying ORV statute has reciprocity. We had to take that language and put it in the ATV section just to make it crystal clear to DOL again.
Imagine, if you will, you're in Pend'oreille County riding with your family and kids, and suddenly you're pulled over. Well, your crime, you weren't licensed in both states. Well, it's clear that we never intended that. It was clear language that we felt we had that covered. It's resolved now as soon as it's resolved in the House. Let's get it passed in the Senate. Let's get it signed by the governor. So it's time for all your listeners who are ATV riders to call and make sure that their senators know how they feel.
One quick action item. We're still going to be voting until 5 o'clock today, where the cutoff is House Bill 2055, one of the big ugly bills that we have been fighting tooth and nail for the last few weeks. And specifically, what would it do? Well, it would reform the Consumer Protection Act. So when the Attorney General sues a small business, the Attorney General, if they win, they can get attorney's fees. But if the business wins, they won't get any attorney's fees at all. What's the implication of that? Well, shutting down Christian businesses. Arlene's Flowers down in Kennewick, Washington, was sued by the Attorney General on a constitutional issue, but it was under the Consumer Protection Act that the Attorney General sued. So what they can use this as a weapon to literally shut down Christian businesses.
That's exactly right. You know, when that bill, that original bill passed, Matt, we were here, we sat on the floor, and we argued and suggested that this is exactly the type of thing that was going to happen. We were told, no way, this is, it'll never be abused in that way. Unfortunately, we were shown to be correct. This is an interesting bill because it's got two different aspects to it. And this is typical for Olympia. They'll put in something that, quite frankly, is wonderful, followed by something that it's a family show, so I can't say that, is less than wonderful. So we've got one of the aspects is related to spyware, and you can't use spyware and install spyware, and it provides greater damages to protect against that. But on the other hand, it's got the consumer protection aspect that you're talking about here, where when the Attorney General sues a private corporation, private business, and loses, the private business can't recover its costs. Only the state, only the government can recover the costs there. So this is, it's unfortunate that it's the way it is, because it's, I wouldn't mind dealing with spyware and voting in favor of that bill, but in its current form, it's going to be a partisan issue, unfortunately, and it's going to go out with a strong no vote.
House Bill 2055, we're going to be posting on that and letting people know what they can do to fight back on this. But today we're going to try to kill it on the floor of the House. We'll keep people updated on the status of that. So far, it's not on any run lists we have. Well, Dave, thanks for joining me on Battlefront this morning, and appreciate everything you're doing in the cause of freedom. And thank you once again to the grassroots for everything that you have done being involved. We are actually making a huge difference over here, and we can't do it without you. I want to say that with all the success we're having, expect an attack on all of us as representatives here in Olympia by those folks, unfortunately, in the Republican Party who do not believe in freedom and liberty like we do. Expect to see those attacks ratchet up here over the next few weeks and months. Please stand by us, and please make sure you go to Freedom Agenda Washington, like the page, share it with your friends, and stay involved. Remember to pray for revival of repentance. We still live in the greatest country in the world despite the internal evil we're facing. This is Matt Shea. Remember to do everything you can to defend freedom locally. May God bless all of you. May He make this generation the greatest one.
That was awesome.
Seconds, but it's right.